Jack Daniel's whiskey at 1.5 is how the folks around here have been living their lives, waking and baking every morning.
Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Essential Technologies text line. You need to get in touch with the program. Joining us now, very pleased, always very kind to this program, and glad we can make time for him. From the 2nd Congressional District, Congressman Barry Moore with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, I am doing good. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, doing well. No rest for the weary in Washington, D.C. right now. Things are really, really moving fast. I guess from y'all's standpoint in the House of Representatives, the debt ceiling discussion, where do you think y'all are on that?
Well, you know, I think we're in a good position as far as the House and the House Freedom Caucus. We were able to work with McCarthy to get something I think that is probably one of the best bills on debt ceiling we've had in recent history. And, you know, now it's like, okay, Chuck Schumer in the Senate and the President and the Executive Branch, y'all do your job. The House of Representatives has done our job. And I think it's good because, Jeff, behind the scenes when we would meet with conservative senators, before, as we were negotiating this thing, they said, give us some stuff to fight for. Give us some things we can talk about. Give us some opportunities in the Senate to discuss this. And so I think we done a pretty darn good job of that. Sure, it's not perfect, but it's a vast improvement on what a clean debt ceiling is, the administration. And here's the thing, I think the American people need to understand, $3.3 billion a day is deficit spending in this country. That's what we're losing. We're going in the wrong direction. So try to push back to pre-COVID levels and try to get some responsible cuts in place. I think the debt ceiling gives us an opportunity to do that, and I think we've done our part.
Yeah, and I mean, it just sounds like we're still dealing with a little brinkmanship here, but it does sound like there's reason to be hopeful that something will probably get done ultimately, though.
Yeah, you know, the frustrating thing for us is we were doing the press conference today after Kevin met with the White House this week, McCarthy I'm talking about, the speaker. Biden was on a helicopter, Marine One, flying from the White House over to get on Air Force One to go to Japan. And here it is. Kevin started wanting to meet with him 100 and so many days ago. And he did not respond. We got a bill out of the House, and Kevin got a meeting with him this week. And today he jumped on a helicopter and went to Japan. He is always looking at other nations' problems and never addressing the ones right here at home.
Yeah. Let's move on to this Durham investigation and what it found. Didn't really pull many punches, really critical of the FBI. I don't know where it goes from here. The FBI claims they made reforms since, you know, the subject matter of this investigation had taken place. But I do think it exposes a lot of things that we sort of suspected about that level of law enforcement in this country and the way they meddle in politics.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, we've been called so far right, but really we've been right so far. I mean, the tinfoil hat conspiracy guys, I mean, we knew. I mean, we saw them taking our accounts down. We saw them running algorithms to quieten the voice of opposing viewpoints. And then when you find out the FBI was actually paying Twitter for that, and then, oh, by the way, they were just going along with this DNC document, the Steele dossier, to spy on a campaign, knowing there was no there. But they drugged this country through $30 million worth of investigations, a presidential election. It's just unbelievable to see the weaponization of this agency. And I'm glad to be on Judiciary, that we have oversight on the FBI. And I think you'll see accountability start to come. I signed on documents yesterday to impeach Christopher Wray and Mayorkas. And actually, we're looking at Merrick Garland this morning. I think as the thing I get, Jeff, from the people, if you follow the news feeds, the social media feeds, is we talk about these 60-second viral moments in hearings where we grill so-and-so and, wow, we got them. But the people on my news feed and in my district and around the country are going, so what are you going to do about it? So it's time for us. Sound bites are one thing. Substance is another. And I think we have to take the gloves off, because people in this country do not trust the government, and they should not trust the government. It has been weaponized in elections and against conservatives and against churches and against school boards and parents who want to speak out, and it's time we put a halt to it.
Well, one of the things I hear discussed, funding, you're cutting the FBI's funding, and maybe that gets their attention. Because, you know, a lot of times, congressmen, they will, or Congress will have the hearings. I mean, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen to Hillary Clinton for Benghazi. You know, and they build up these big hearings or these big investigations or special counsels or whatever, or special committees, and then it sort of just goes away. This sounds at least like you're willing to use the power to purse strings in this case.
I think that's the only chance we have, other than impeachment and purse strings. That's the House. We have oversight. Those are the opportunities. I think the impeachment sends a message that, hey, we're going to start holding some of these leaders accountable, but they're doing what they're told to do, too, by the White House. So in some ways, too, when you start cutting the funding within those agencies, I think that's the best opportunity, especially within certain areas of those agencies where we see that they may have abused the FISA warrants. You know, that all these things, we can start going after those. And I asked my staff together this morning, I want the names. I want the names of the agents. I want the names of the CIA, these assets, these intel assets, anybody that was involved in this process. I want to know who they were, what is their position, and what are they making today, or are they drawing a pension, and what can we do to go after it?
Yeah, there's no reason to put any stock in a criminal referral or anything like that, because this DOJ is not going to prosecute itself, it appears.
No, that's exactly right. They will not hold their own accountable. And besides, there's a reason we have a Congress, and it is that vox populi, the voice of the people. It's our responsibility to do what our constituents expect of us, to hold these agencies accountable. And honestly, man, you know, when I was doing those town halls, and even now, our people fear their government being weaponized against them, especially in red states and conservative districts. And so I got news for them. They better start fearing Congress and these members up here who are fed up with this abuse of this power. And, man, all I ever wanted in life, Jeff, was to be left alone. I wanted to run my business and do what I wanted to do in life. And when I began to realize these taxes and regulations, and now this abuse of this weaponization, I'm here to fight this fight, and we're going to do that, and we're going to hold them accountable. And I hope the people look back, and history reflects well on this Judiciary Committee, this Congress, Kevin McCarthy, and how we came out and held people accountable.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District here on the program. Beyond just kind of what do you do now, I guess impeachment, how does that look? Do you get the sense that you could get impeachment out of the House and at least force the Senate to have to do a trial with Mayorkas, with Christopher Wray, and then maybe even someday Joe Biden if the opportunity arises? But what do you think? Is that something your colleagues seem open to?
Yeah, you know, I'm really, really pleased. We've been talking about Mayorkas. I mean, the guy is straight up a bald-faced liar. He will look you straight in the face as people are pouring across the border to the tune of 9,000 a day and tell you the U.S. border is secure. And so there is no doubt he is derelict in his duty. He's a bald-faced liar to the American people and to Congress. And so when Tom Emmer, our whip, over the weekend said Mayorkas needed impeachment, that was encouraging to those of us who felt like he did. And Jim Jordan, I think, in Judiciary, we're already talking among the members, how do we get the support? And there's a few holdouts right now on our side of the aisle that we've got to convince that this is the correct step and the right step in the process. And so, but I feel pretty confident that Mayorkas' time will be, it'll be trying the next few months, let's say that.
Well, yeah, he just tells him, I mean, it's not just you guys. I mean, he lies to everybody. Yeah, the border is secure. Yeah, there's nothing, there's no threat to the American public here. And then something bad happens or whatever, that it's either he is grossly incompetent or he is just a pathological liar. But neither one are things that would lend themselves to that role. I mean, Homeland Security does so many things. I know it was created after 9/11, but there's just not a lot of reason to put a lot of stock and faith into that office.
Yeah, we changed the name from DHS up here, the Department of Homeland Security, to the Department of Human Smuggling. I mean, we are basically aiding and abetting the cartel in Mexico, making billions of dollars, and allowing people just to pour in here these big, broad asylum claims, giving them cell phones and sending them on their way in a court date for 2027. And it's just not right. It's not a sovereign nation when you do that. And he needs to be held accountable. And if nothing else, I think if we call him to the carpet, maybe that'll start at least slowing the flow, and they'll start doing their job over at DHS.
Congressman, abortion, Alabama, I guess, assume you're aware, your former body, the Alabama legislature, 2019, passed a very strict abortion ban. The Dobbs decision happens, and lo and behold, Alabama has one of the strictest, strictest the abortion bans in the country. But it appears the Biden administration taking some exception to Alabama and other states that have done this. They're trying to use the Pentagon to figure out ways to go around state law, to undermine state law. There's a lot of talk out there that it's going to cost the state, at least in part, Space Command, because Tommy Tuberville, your U.S. senator, senior U.S. senator, has put hold on these flag officers for their promotions. And I know it's a Senate thing, but you obviously have a role as a federal official representing the state up there. What do you make of that and the way this is kind of unfolding here?
Well, I think all of our pro-life, your listeners, Jeff, are to call and thank Coach Tuberville, because he's taken a stand. When Roe v. Wade came down, that was a Supreme Court case, a ruling to allow the states to make those decisions. And once our state makes its decision, then the DOD, in its infinite wisdom, decides to allow soldiers to go get abortions and take 3 weeks off work and us pay for their travel. And it plainly states in the law, in the section, in the code, that tax dollars should not go for abortion, funding abortion. So the DOD is trying to bypass the Supreme Court ruling, and Coach Tuberville met with them. It wasn't like this came out of nowhere. He met with them months ago and said, I should say Senator Tuberville, said, do not do this, Secretary Austin, because if you do this, there's going to be consequences. Well, they just thumb their nose at the Senate. They thumb their nose at the law. They thumb their nose at the Supreme Court, and they drive an agenda. And we wonder why our military is weak right now, why we're not hitting our recruitment goals, because they're not focused on the things that they need to be focused on. They're focused on some social agenda, some woke ideology, and they're bound and determined. They think they're going to steamroll Tuberville on this, and I just don't think he's going away. And I think we need to encourage him to stand and fight. I went and sat on the floor behind him and Mike Lee the other night as they debated this issue. And listen, there is a way that if the Senate wants those officers to be promoted, they can get promoted. It's a little longer process. But at the end of the day, Coach Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, however you want to refer to him, is doing the right thing. He's standing for the letter of the law. He's standing for the pro-life movement in our state, and certainly, I think, in our nation in general, to no taxpayer-funded. I mean, that polls 70%. People don't want their tax dollars going for abortion. And so he's fighting for what the American people want. And he's holding the ground, and I'm proud of him for what he's doing.
I don't really understand how the Department of Defense gets away with this, because maybe it doesn't. The Hyde Amendment, I mean, is it a violation of it, or is it just they're just offering paid leave and time off to go somewhere to have an abortion? I guess it's not paying directly, but it just seems like it could be a potential violation of existing law.
Well, it absolutely is, Jeff, and the only thing that's covered with this is abortion. It's not like it's some heart surgery or something. It's just abortion, and that shows you where the mindset of the leadership and the Department of Defense, the Joint Chiefs, that crowd, that shows you where their mindset's at. And listen, I'm sad about it. Lloyd Austin's an Auburn grad, but what a horrible Department of Defense, what a horrible Secretary of Defense he has become, and it is so, so sad to see the direction in which the military is going under his command, and direction of how weaponized and how silly some of this stuff is that they do.
Well, just the military in general here. I don't think people, I mean, yeah, Biden and Democrat administrations are typically tough on military families, but no one expected this level of this social engineering, this kind of weird wokeism throughout the Pentagon, did they?
No, I mean, I don't know. I can't explain. It seems like so many agencies in the swamp, if you will, on the Hill, and unfortunately, even in the Department of Defense, has moved woke and left. The people have been promoted up through the process for a lot of the wrong reasons sometimes, I think. And so it's all about, how are they, what is their actual ideology rather than their qualifications for the job? And I've said it before, a lot of times within, especially within the Biden administration, the promotions are based on pronouns and not job performance. And it's playing itself out across the board. You see the failures of this agency, this government on inflation, everything this administration touches, it goes broke. They say if you go woke, you go broke, man. And the military is broken around the Department of Defense. Not our soldiers. They're great people, but the Department of Defense as a leadership is really, really driving an agenda. It's not about defending this country or breaking things or killing things like we want military to do. It's about an ideology. It's about an agenda, and that's not best for our country.
I mean, they're not meeting recruitment goals or levels. I mean, there's all kinds of problems throughout the military, and it's a very precarious time around the world for this to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, with Ukraine and then the failure in Afghanistan, the way the withdrawal out of Afghanistan, we knew then we had problems with leadership in the DOD, and we had them in front of Congress. Nobody's been held accountable over there. And it's just, that was the beginning to me, really, the indication of how unqualified and how horrible the leadership at the DOD under Austin and Milley has been and continues to be. And this is just another step in trying to bypass, again, Congress and the Supreme Court. But I think Senator Tuttle's doing a fine job, and he sent a message. Like I said, he didn't surprise them with this. Right. They knew what they needed to do, and they tried to steamroll him. And he's doing the right thing. He's standing for the letter of the law and for pro-life, no tax dollars funding abortion. And that's what we expect our senator to do, and I'm proud of it.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you, as always, are very kind to come on this program and talk to us about what's going on. And let's do this again real soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Flores Show on FM Talk 106.5.